Hi, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, here with Kirk Langford. Hi, Kirk. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great today, too. I wanted to take a moment at the beginning of this episode to say that on Wednesday, it's going to be National Skilled Trades Day.
That's true.
Yeah, so I have a little fun fact. Cool. It was established in 2019 by City Machine Technologies in Youngstown, Ohio, and it was to raise awareness about the value of the skilled trades workforce in the United States.
Okay. I'm actually surprised that it only started in 2019, or I guess was only officially created or recognized in 2019, because, I mean, skilled trades have been such an important part of the economy, not just the U.S., but worldwide for so long that I'm actually a little surprised. But hey, better late than never, right?
Yeah,
so that's
great. Sometimes it takes us a moment,
you know? It takes us a while, yeah, to catch up, yeah.
So the skilled trades workforce, they're often very busy people, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
Today's topic is how being too busy affects leadership effectiveness.
This is a good one, because I feel like in a lot of North America, and I mean other parts of the world as well, but definitely North America, we tend to wear the badge of being busy as a badge of honor, right? Oh, how are you doing? Oh, so busy. And we all go, oh, good. And I you know, I sometimes wonder from like a, maybe a mental health perspective, if we actually shouldn't go, oh, you're really busy. Is everything okay? Are you having trouble managing your schedule or managing your life? And instead we go, oh, I'm busy. I go, yeah, I get it. Me too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so this is a cool topic to talk about for sure.
Yeah, so we'll jump right in. And my first question is, why do we find ourselves too busy in the first place?
Yeah, so if we, I guess just to clarify for our listeners, you know, we're talking about this within a work context, not necessarily life, right?
But correct, because I imagine, you know, home life, if you have children or, you know, parents or, you know, dependents that need to,
of course,
that you need to, you know,
take
look
care
out
of,
for.
Yeah. So if we look at it in the work context, I'd say there's maybe two camps. The first camp is that we just people, the amount of work people have to do and the role they're in are not aligned. So what I mean is that there's more work that they can, there's more work than what they can really do, right? And so that's the first piece of it. So they're actually very busy in that they have all these responsibilities and there just aren't enough hours in the day to get it all done. That'd be the first camp. And I think we see that a lot, right? Where organizations maybe don't know exactly how much work a person should be able to do in a given time. You know, you work in certain roles and it's very clear that, you know, you should be able to clear 500 units in an hour. So if someone's only clearing 450, well, they're slower than the average. And if someone's doing 550, then they're higher. But in lots of other jobs, we don't necessarily know how much someone should be able to do in a given time frame. So we tend to, we want to overload them, especially if the person is like, yeah, give me more, I can take it on. So that's first part. On the other side, though, for leaders, I'd say leaders specifically, I think sometimes there's an ego component to it. And what I mean by that is that we like to be busy because being busy or being able to say that we're busy makes us feel important.
Right.
It makes us feel needed.
Yep.
It makes us feel good. It makes us reassured that we have something to do. And I think for some of us, our biggest fear is not having something to do because it might mean, are we redundant? Are we not needed? Are we not important? And as the leader, you want to believe you are important. I mean, you're the leader of the team. So you've got to be important. And so if we say, you know what, I actually have nothing to do, it makes it sound like, oh, well, you can't, you must not be busy, therefore you must not be important.
Right.
So I think we have these two camps. There's one where definitely the job or the amount of responsibility one person is supposed to do is misaligned with what they can actually do in a day or in a shift. But we also have this other side where there are probably leaders who could do a better job of maybe offloading or empowering, and they're not doing it because they're scared that if I do get help or if I do ask for help, you know, it's going to make me look less important. It's going to make me feel less important because I suddenly don't have as much to do. So I think it's both sides.
Great. So going to the first part that you had said about, you know, people taking on too many tasks or being overloaded with tasks, how would that affect a leader's effectiveness?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that it really affects their effectiveness if they've got, if they're doing so much that they're not really able to lead their team. Maybe I'll draw this out because I have this little model I was thinking of as we were, you know, talking about this episode that I want to explain. We have our leadership progression model, which of course you know very well,
of course.
What it represents to those that might not be familiar is really four levels of kind of how you progress through being a leader. And I'm not going to focus too much on the first two, but it's essentially saying that you start as a buddy. You don't necessarily really like leadership or the fact that you're a leader. In fact, you probably loathe it, right? But then eventually you make it to a supervisor level. And I don't mean specifically the title of supervisor, but rather that mental level where you go, I know I'm not a buddy. I'm not trying to be one of the guys on the team anymore, one of the people on the team. I'm really trying to recognize that I have to lead this team. Again, you don't loathe it at this point, but you don't really love it. So maybe we'd say you're okay with it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you move into the hero role. And the hero role is a nice place to be. It feels really good. You can answer all the questions. You can solve all the problems. No matter what your team comes to you with, you've got an answer. You've got a solution.
You feel important.
You feel important. You got it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think this is where we tend to see a lot of busyness, right? Because we are the hero. And so they come to us for all sorts of things. We are there to put out the fires and we're there to solve all the problems. Mm-hmm. Cool. Here's the problem with getting stuck in the hero stage. Your job as a leader is not just to become a hero, because you're not going to be there forever, right? I don't think I know anybody. If I could ask for a show of hands of our listeners, I don't think anybody's going to put up their hand when I say, who wants to work 150 years?
Right.
Who wants to work 75 years? You eventually want to be able to move on. And in a positive situation, in a positive scenario, you want to move on and know that your team is in good hands. But if you've been the hero all mm-hmm. these years and you haven't been, you know, you've been solving all the problems, answering all the questions, you haven't taught anybody else to be able to be a leader yourself.
Right.
And that's what the coach level is. That's what a coach is being all about. And I always use this analogy when I'm training or with our clients is I say, how many times have you been at a baseball game or a basketball game or any sports game? And, you know, a bunch of players or even one player gets injured. How often, tell me, have you seen the coach rip off their suit and they reveal that they were actually wearing the uniform all along and they are ready to jump out there and fill in? I mean, you play hockey, Suzanne. Right. How many times have you seen that in the NHL? Have you ever seen that?
Not once.
They're not allowed to. That's not the point, right? Of course. The point is, no matter how many players get hurt or injured or get taken out of the game for any number of reasons, the coach looks at the team and goes, okay, what are we going to do now? Right. They're not going to jump in. They're not going to lace up their skates and get out there.
Exactly.
No, they have to stay on the bench and coach. And so we have to do the same thing as leaders. We have to be willing to go, I would love to jump in and solve your problem. I would love to go in and answer your question, but I need you to figure out how to do this. Yeah. And so going from the hero stage to the coach stage or level is all about this all important word, empowerment, right? Mm. You've got to be willing to empower your people. You've got to be willing to say, yeah, I could solve that problem. Yeah, I have an answer to that question. I've dealt with it 100 times. Mm-hmm. But what do you think we should do? How would you solve that problem? What's your answer to the question? So back to your kind of a long-winded way to get back to your question is, you know, what happens when they get too busy? Does it affect their leadership? Absolutely, because the first thing that tends to go out of the window when you get too busy is empowerment. We stop empowering because mm-hmm. we're too busy putting out fires and doing the work that we should be handing off to our team so that they can learn how to do these things. And so we stop empowering. And one of your biggest jobs as a leader is to try to empower your team to be successful. Mm-hmm. So baseline, you start taking on too much, and whether it's you take on too much because you've been given too many responsibilities, or whether it's because of that ego side we talked about, the thing that flies out the window tends to be empowerment. The other thing is, you're still going to have to deal with issues. You're still going to have to put out fires. But when you're too busy, I mean, anybody that's listening that knows that when you get too busy, you tend to become a little more impatient, a little grumpier, a little more frustrated, probably a bit more defensive.
Right.
So when issues are brought to you and you're already too busy, you feel overwhelmed. And your response to those are probably going to be much more short and kind of tempered and, oh, well, I'm trying to fix it. Get off my back.
Right.
Rather than going, oh, I could get your help fixing this. I could mm-hmm. use your collaboration on this. So as a leader, not only are we not empowering, mm-hmm. but we're probably not presenting the right attitude or the right behavior when people are trying to come to us to ask us questions or to get help with solving a problem because we're too stressed. We're too overwhelmed.
Right. And I imagine that when you're a leader with overwhelmed and stressed and all, you're kind of in your office, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And people probably keep coming to you, or you're in a spot where, yeah, you're trying to get all these tasks handled, done, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you were mentioning on the leadership progression model, once you start handing off maybe some of these tasks and you have some time, you're going to empower people and probably spend more time on the floor.
So, yes.
How are you going to empower your people on the floor? Why is that so important? I mean,
yeah.
One of the reasons was, like you said, to be a coach and to, you know, raise people themselves into the hero level.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But what else?
Yeah.
Why else would that be important to spend time on the floor?
So it's important for empowerment. It's important for cross-training on your team, you know, increasing your team's bench strength with more people, mm-hmm. being able to do more tasks. If someone's out for a little while, vacation, they're sick, they quit, whatever it might be, they get moved to a different department, whatever it might be. If you have a team that is cross-trained a little bit better, then when you need to pivot, right, it's easier to do. Production doesn't have to slow down. You don't have to close a line because you go, oh, you know, Tammy and Jim were the only people that knew how to run those machines. Now that they've been shifted over, I don't have anyone to run those machines, right? So the empowerment leads to stronger cross-training, stronger bench strength on your team, okay?
Right.
So that's the first part. And so if we talk about how to do that, what often tends to happen when a leader either first becomes a leader or maybe joins a new organization and they want to show, hey, come to me for anything, you know, open door policy, I'm available, I'm mm-hmm. open. It's good intentions. I mean, I'm not saying don't be open and don't be willing to talk to your people and, you know, don't spend time on the floor. But it's more how you go about it that can cause issues. Because you asked about, hopefully, if you're empowering more, then that means you're going to have more time to spend on the floor coaching,
yes.
giving feedback, training others. Yeah, which
if
is
you're,
good.
If you're offloading tasks
yeah.
to your employees,
yes.
right, then what are you going to do with all this spare time?
Yeah.
Lean
yeah.
back and have an
That's
extra
right.
coffee
yeah.
break.
Pina colada,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. Now, I laugh a little bit because even with, of course, empowerment, we're being realistic. And to the listeners, you know, we know that it doesn't mean you've suddenly got 40 hours a week to sit, to kick back.
No.
You might be saving yourself 15 or 20 minutes a week or maybe 15 or 20 minutes a day. So it might be small gains, but it's gains nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And that 15 or 20 minutes, then you have a chance to ask yourself, what could I spend this time on? And I would say, if we go back to our leadership progression model that we just talked about, it's about how can I spend that time further empowering and
right.
coaching, providing feedback, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. And so I want to show you this this model that we call in our training the leadership trap. So I'll jump over to my iPad here to kind of demonstrate this. So what this represents, this image that's on the screen right now, and for those that are listening to the podcast, you're seeing a person in the middle and all of these arrows and other people pointing to this person in the middle. Now the person in the middle is our not so lucky leader. Right? And all the people around are the team members,
mm-hmm.
right? So those are our TMs. And what are they doing? Well, every time they have a problem, every time they have an issue, every time they have a question, who are they going to fix their problem or answer their question?
The leader.
The leader. The leader's got to figure it all out. So it can feel like a barrage. And you have you have an 8 or a 10 or a 12 hour shift, and you don't know whether that 10-hour shift is going to be spent with all of these people coming at you or only one or two things. There's a very low amount of predictability, very low amount of stability. And so as a leader, when you're trying to plan a bit of time for being on the floor, walking around, empowering, engaging your team, it's really tricky. It's really challenging to plan that out because you don't know what's going to come at you because you're letting them decide when they need to come to you. That's the first piece.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the second piece. Suze, if I... have this open door policy, come see me whenever there's an issue or whenever you have a question. And say you're Diane over here. Diana's pretty self-sufficient. She's been on the team quite a while, so she can generally solve her own problems and answer mm-hmm. most of her own questions. That's great. But when does Diana get FaceTime with you as a leader?
Oh, goodness.
Almost never.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So what starts to happen is if she wants FaceTime with the leader, because she's got to kind of elbow her way to you, she has to almost create problems, create situations, create questions
mm-hmm.
in order to have a bit of FaceTime with the leader. And so not only are you getting a very unpredictable day and an unstable day, you're getting this situation where the good people, the ones on your team that are strong and autonomous and already empowered, they might not get much FaceTime with you.
Right.
And nobody really likes no FaceTime with the boss,
absolutely
with the leader.
Absolutely not.
So This model doesn't work in the long term. It leads to burnout. It leads to exhaustion. It leads to no time on the floor. It leads to low empowerment.
Interruptions of your day.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's the alternative? Well, of course, I've got one for you. I'm not going to leave you hanging. And it's this model right here. And so in this model here, we've got the leader. And then we've got them kind of going around in a circle, and you know, each of their team members are somewhere along this circle. So we've got our awesome leader here, and we've got all the team members at different points along the circle. Now, it's hard to tell just by looking at the image, of course, but what this represents is a proactive approach to checking in with the team. So it's open door, but it's not saying, hey, whenever you have a question or comment or concern or a problem, come to me. Mm-hmm. It's instead you as the leader saying, I'm going to proactively, I'm not going to wait for a problem. I'm not going to wait for a question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to proactively go visit everybody on my team, maybe 2 times a shift, 3, 4 times a shift. It'll depend on how long your shifts are and exactly the makeup of how your team works and everything, of course. Mm-hmm. But you're going to proactively reach out to your team. And the funny thing is this can even work with remote teams. Right? You can message them, say, hey, I just wanted to check in, say good morning. How's your day going so far? Right. Anything I can help you with? And you're going to go to each person. How's it going? Anything I can help you with? Any questions? Things are rolling? Great. Okay. I'll be back in a couple hours to just mm-hmm. check in and see how you're doing. Great. What are you teaching your team? One is that you're always or pretty almost always present. You're going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? A couple times a shift, they're going to get a little bit of FaceTime with you. So it also means that those high performers are also going to be checked in with. You're not going to leave them to, oh, only come see me when you have a problem, a question, or an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come to you even if you don't have a problem, a question, or an issue just to check in. So they're not going to have to create questions or problems to get a bit of FaceTime with the boss. Mm-hmm. It also creates stability or a little bit of predictability because they know that, yeah, I have a bit of a problem I want to ask the boss about, but I know he's or she is going to be coming around in you know a couple hours at least, if not sooner. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to necessarily go right away because I know that they're going to check in with me regularly. So then they're not rushing to your door the second there's a problem. They might hold off a little bit. Of course, if it's a serious problem, you still want them to come to you immediately. But if it's a less serious problem, they'll go, you know, I'm going to wait a bit because I know that Suzanne's going to come around. So you get more predictability. More stability. It frees up a little bit of your time. Again, I'm not saying you're going to have 40 hours mm-hmm. a week to sit around and relax, but a little bit of time, right, that you can then spend when you do those walkabouts, empowering people, planning, mm-hmm. and really having a more proactive approach.
Yeah, figuring out how to motivate people.
Exactly.
What motivates them.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so this approach is going to help us go from being that hero to being the coach. It frees us up a little bit. It gives us a little bit more wiggle room and is a much more proactive approach. And in fact, we just, we're always delivering training programs, which is great. And I just got feedback via email from somebody maybe 3 days ago. It was actually quite recent. And they were saying, you know, that was one small thing I took from your training, but man, what a big impact it's had. It's just completely changed the way I interact with my team. And now what started out, of course, the first couple of times you do it, your team might be skeptical, kind of like, oh, is this going to be a long-term change? Or is this just a flavor of the week thing that the boss has been told to try out? So they're trying it out. And so the person said, yeah, of course, at first it was met with a little bit of skepticism, a little bit of like, hey, this is like the principal coming to my classroom when I was, you know, in elementary school. But now it's more like the team expects it. The team expects you to regularly be checking in on them. And they it's created a lot more predictability for this leader. So it was really cool. We have all these models and diagrams and mm-hmm. ways of doing things, these strategies. It's really cool when we hear from people in our courses that, hey, you know, I've been using this and it's a really wonderful strategy. And in fact, probably this leadership trap model mm-hmm. is probably one of the most, I would say, well-liked strategies or most used strategies from our frontline leadership courses. People really connect with this and mm-hmm. go, yeah, I do want to reclaim a bit of my time. And this is a great way and an easy way to do it.
That's great. That's mm-hmm. always nice to hear from people that go through our courses. You're right. And mm-hmm. to know that what we're teaching, or I say we as a cumulative, but you know, the company is teaching, it's having an impact on people. Mm-hmm. That's really great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of my final questions today is going to be, as we've talked about, these frontline leaders, they have tasks, right? And a lot of those tasks are going to be admin work.
Sure.
Maybe not just putting out fires of their team.
Right.
Maybe not just, you know, answering all these questions, but they do have a little bit of admin work to do, mm-hmm. right? So how can they find the right balance between doing paperwork and also leading their team, doing things like walking the floor and, you know, engaging with their team members?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. It's a tricky one to end with and just a tricky question in general, because you got to get the admin work done. I totally get that. One of the first things I'd recommend is try to focus on the second part you talked about, which is really growing your team, empowering your team. Try to find most of your time for that, because that's your primary role as a leader, right? Is to make sure that you are that the work is getting done through your team.
Is that called servant leadership now that we're kind of talking about?
Well,
that's
is part that of kind it, of yeah. what? Yeah. Yeah, servant leadership is really about being available to your team and not really this top-down leadership style where it's I'm the boss and you got to do what I say.
Right.
But it's more about how can I help you? How can I serve you as your leader? How can I help make sure the work gets done? What can I do to make your job easier? What can I do to remove barriers? So that's kind of the idea behind servant leadership. But it does connect a little bit here in that focus on that servant leadership aspect of getting out on the floor, making sure you're connecting with your people as much as possible, you know, practicing that leadership trap. So if we go back to that leadership trap idea, I think if we're practicing that proactive approach, it does hopefully save us a little bit of time that we can then use for getting some of that admin work done, which I know can be a struggle. The second piece of advice I would give is if you have admin work that someone else can help you with from your team, empower them to do so. I know sometimes we think, I have to be the one to file that report, or I have to be the one to create that or do that. But if there's any chance that somebody on your team can help you, leverage that help. Don't feel the need to do it on your own.
Yeah, so maybe the admin tasks can maybe be some of the tasks you can offload.
Yeah, and in certain cases, yes, there's certain reports or paperwork that you as the leader, you have to be the one to fill it out. Mm-hmm. You have to be the one to submit it for sure. But in situations where there's some flexibility or you could get some assistance, make sure you do that. And again, the other piece, use that positive leadership trap piece of you proactively reaching out to your team in order to free up a little bit of free time to find more time for admin work so that there's a bit more of a balance. Because I know for a lot of leaders, they say, you know, I'm supposed to be spending more time on the floor. I spend so much time in my office doing admin work. And so if you can find, use the leadership proactive approach, it's going to make it a little bit easier to find time for that.
Nice. Well, thanks, Kirk, for going over all these things that I'm sure our listeners will find very engaging and important.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And thank you for listening today. This is the end of another Leader Feeder episode. And until the next one, see you soon.